What's the 411? You're tuned in to 411 Teen, a weekly program for teens and other interested folks. 411 Teen provides a forum to examine and discuss various issues and events that confront, intersect, and sometimes interrupt our daily lives. Tap into the pulse of today's youth this hour to explore the Lively Technical Center Aviation Program. Lively Technical Center was established in 1937. It has evolved to serve thousands of students annually, primarily in Leon, Gadsden, and Wakulla counties, and neighboring South Georgia and Alabama. In partnership with the extended community, Lively Technical Center provides educational training to both teens and adults, empowering students for success in a myriad of fields, from accounting, automation, digital design, practical nursing, to aviation maintenance technology and computer systems technology. I'm Dr. Liz Hollyfield. This hour, 411 Teen features the Lively Technical Center Aviation Program. Joining me here at the roundtable, I welcome all folks in the Lively Aviation Program community. I welcome Leonard Campbell. He is a graduate of Lincoln High School. He is in the aviation program and will finish it in 2017. Glad to have you. Tanner Fogler. He also is a graduate of Lincoln High School. Aviation is his thing. Ben Kilgore, graduate of Lincoln, airplanes and aviation. Cody Harrison, he's a graduate of Wakulla High School. He is also in the aviation program. Verne Randolph, she is the principal of Lagny Technical School.
Thank you for having us.
And Joseph Garcia. I'm so glad to have him back. He's an instructor in the aviation program at Lively Technical Center.
Happy to be here.
Oh, yeah. Look forward to talking with you all. I think you have so much that you can share, and I think aviation is just so, so very interesting. Since its inception, Lively has evolved and grown. Actually, I guess this goes to either one of you, instructor and principal. How many students overall are you serving? I mean, who is your student body? You know, give us a picture of Lively.
Right now, we're serving over 700 students. However, registration goes to the first day of school, which starts August the 15th. The students can be in the range from 16 to 73 years old. They come from a world difference of different backgrounds. They also can go into any program that we have at Lively. As you stated, we have over 30 programs there, and we want everyone to know we're here to serve each of them.
Just for the listening audience, I just wrote down a couple of the programs. I want to share them with you right now. And this is not by any means all of them, but there is accounting and administrative office and AC and heating and refrigeration. And correct me if I'm wrong. And automotive and aviation, which, again, we focus today. We have commercial foods and culinary arts, commercial photography, cosmetology, digital design, electricity, legal administration, massage therapy, medical administration, pharmacy tech, practical nursing, great, great program, welding, web development. And I just wanted to share with you who are tuned in that Lively is a gem. It's a little hidden gem that we don't know anything about. And when I had my original program, I had one back in June on Lively, and I was just blown away at all the programs that you offer. So at some point, maybe I will be able to focus on each one of them so you can hear. But again, we applaud you because you have so many programs. Now, who is your student body? Even though you said the range is what, from 16 to 73? After 73, you can't come.
Oh, no. You can come after 73. We will take you.
Okay.
The students themselves, they come for training. Some even have master's degrees. Some have doctor's degrees that come to our program. They're they're coming to be retrained, or are they coming to pick up a training skill? We would take any student that will come in. We would take them step by step as far as financial aid. We would even look and see what we can do to help that student to become enrolled with Lively Technical Center.
Where are you? Where are you located physically?
We're located 500 North Alpiard Drive, right next door to Tallahassee Community College.
Okay. Now, as far as admission, you were saying that they can come from 16 on. What are the requirements? Are there prerequisites? How does one get in? And, I mean, I guess you can tell us about that in general, and then we'll get to the aviation. And is that, you know, I would think each program may have different admission procedures or policies.
Each program have their own different requirements. However, their basic skills that are required to be a part of entry into the level going into a particular program. And that's one reason why we really want a student case specialist to sit down with the individual student to talk about their goals and where they see that they're going, and then determine what direction they need to go. The programs are set up for, we have each individual a program card where they can see exactly the requirements, their tuition costs, their lab fees, everything associated with any different programs that we have at Lively.
What if someone is just hearing this program and think, wow, I think I'd like just to take a class. I don't know that I want to really enter a program and get a certificate, but I'd like to take a class on aviation. You know, I'd just like to be exposed to it. Is that a possibility?
Not necessarily aviation. However,
okay,
this year, some of the programs we would have that opportunity for them to do. We're looking at having fee courses, short courses, which would entitle them to be able to get just a short version of what is going to be happening in the individual programs. We'll be coming up with those for the fall of this year.
Now, let's talk about the enrollment process. I know you have dual enrollment, and some of you have been in dual enrollment. So explain to us what dual enrollment is all about, and I want to hear from you students as to, you know, how you found dual enrollment, how you were able to navigate and maneuver. Was it easy, difficult, whatever?
Well,
Joe, if you'll tell us about it.
As an instructor, I started off at Lincoln High School, and we had this aviation program there. So we were able to start students from actually 9th grade, 10th grade, 11th grade, or 12th grade. And what's unique about that is everybody comes into the class and we're all combined with all grades. So, and with aviation, everybody's new to it. So no one is coming there with an aptitude that's greater than somebody else. And this is something we're teaching new to the students. But what's nice about this is we're taking the math, the English, and science courses that they're doing in the classes, and they come to us, and we actually apply that math, apply that science, apply that English. They were reading Frankenstein, and when they're reading Frankenstein, I saw one of the students with a book. He put it down. Oh, I love the book as well. And so, you know, and I had read it several times myself. And I remember that we were talking about electricity, and when, you know, he has the two plugs in the side of his head, electricity hits him, and we were talking about plasma. And that's really what lightning is a plasma, you know, kind of ray thing. So I introduced that, and I found out later that one of the teachers came to me from the English class and said, hey, well, you know, I understand you're talking about Frankenstein in the class. I said, yes, I have to find a way to introduce what you're teaching and make it accessible in aviation, because I think aviation can go in any direction. And I think that these students here are seeing that, and they're doing it. They're actually experiencing the education in a vocational aspect.
What was the appeal? Why did you all, you know, and that's, this is to all of you, why did you even pursue a dual enrollment?
I came from a small town where we only had automotive and carpentry, so it was, I wanted to try and find a job career that I'd be good at, and ever since I was like 10 or 11, I've always liked aviation.
And so that was the, what about you now?
Well, I started off in 11th grade when Garcia introduced aviation to us. I was taking the class more for an elective, just for an extra class. But after the year, I ended up liking it and said I wanted to continue on.
You just stayed in there.
Yes, ma'am.
Great.
I just like mechanics and all that stuff, and aviation is what Lincoln offered, so then I got in that, and then I just liked that more than everything else, so I stayed with it.
Yeah, I thought it looked pretty cool, so I was like, I'll give it a shot. And then Joe tricked me into doing another year. and then another year. And then,
so now you're at a point where you're getting ready to graduate.
Yes, ma'am.
And I applaud and congratulations to all of you.
In fact, with Ben, this last semester we just ended, he came and approached me and said, you know, hey, what's this Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University? Is that something I can continue in? And when I hear that, that's a success.
Hey,
I know we've done something here. We got him in the right direction. Mm-hmm. So Ben is thinking about that, and maybe this year I can actually have him talk to a counselor there and have him continue his education.
How difficult was it to be dually enrolled? I mean, just when you hear the term dually enrolled, it might be like a bit overwhelming, and students might think, dually enrolled is bad enough for me to be in one program. Nonetheless, think of two. Did you all find it overwhelming or difficult at all?
No, it was pretty easy. We just went to four classes at Lincoln and then just go to lunch and then just drive to the airport, take your regular classes there, and then you're done.
Oh, wow. Yeah. How long? Well, and we'll get into more of it, but so you would go to Lincoln from, what, 7:30 to 12 or 11, or how did that work?
7:30 to 11.
Okay. And then you have lunch, I guess, and then you go over? Or?
Yeah, and then Lively started at 12.
Did you find that this limited your free time at all? I mean, being dually enrolled, did you find that you...
School, yeah, all the time. It's high school. But, yeah.
People can't see you. I don't know.
No, it's not too bad, though. You get out at 3, you got plenty of time, and the sun's up till later. So, I mean, you still do all kinds of stuff.
So, it sounds like it's a typical schedule, because when you say dually enrolled, it means it sounds like, oh, wow, that's going to be really difficult, and I won't have time. So, if somebody wanted to work or do some other, maybe have a part-time job, do you think they could be able to handle that?
I went to two different schools and then we went to work afterwards, so I didn't get home till 10 or 11 at night and was back up at it at 7 o'clock the next morning.
Oh, great. I asked you all to hold your thoughts. You're tuned in to 411 Teen. We're going to take a brief break, but we'll get right back at you. If you're just tuning in, the program is 411 Teen, and this hour, 411 Teen features the Lively Technical Center Aviation Program. And I had just been talking with graduates, and soon-to-be graduates of high school and soon-to-be graduates of the program, just about the demands of the program. Since you all have been in regular high school, would you do a comparison of the teachers and instructors, how do they differ, you know, from your traditional teaching staff?
I mean, Joe's pretty good. He's a good teacher.
Yeah. No, you don't have to say he's good. I mean, no, I just meant really as far as the instruction and the interaction, do you find that you have a different kind of relationship with do they call you Mr. Garcia, Joe?
I get them all. I get them Joe, Mr. Garcia.
Okay.
Whatever
goes.
Get
whatever
my name
goes.
Out there
okay.
And talk to me.
Yeah. Well, did you find that you had a different kind of relationship with him? And the reason I'm asking is because I would think, and I may be wrong, that once you get into the aviation program, the methods, the educational delivery system might be a little bit different. And so it might open itself up to being more on a different kind of relationship. So that's what I'm trying to, you know, find out from all of you and any of you.
I learned more in this aviation class than I did at high school. Just all kinds of stuff to do with aviation.
And probably what? Because of the appeal, you were really interested in it, as opposed to maybe you weren't that interested in government or whatever. Yeah. And that's really important. How many people are in the aviation program? How many students do you have now?
Well, when I started at Lincoln, we started off with some like 30 students. And I was there for 3 years, and we cut up to almost 100 students. And then over at our main facility at Lively, mm-hmm. we have, I think it's roughly about 50 students is what I believe is the mm-hmm. count. And it's a mix. Like we said, it's a mm-hmm. mix between high school and really adults that are there. I can tell you what's great about having students like this that are in a high school, and when we bring them into an adult situation, they have to relate to the adults. They have to react in that direction. So I get many parents come to me saying, wow, these kids are growing personally as a mm-hmm. as a person, and they're becoming adults much quicker because they have to deal with other adults and learn at their pace as well. So it's a good system in that aspect.
And Dr. Hollifield, I think a lot of it has to do with the hands-on. It's the hands-on that makes that difference in there. They're actually touching machinery and putting things together. They're breaking it, putting it back together. And that's one of the requirements throughout aviation. And then they have instructors there that's right there one-on-one telling each of them what they're doing wrong, mm-hmm. what they're doing right, mm-hmm. giving them that pat on the back that each of them need. And when you're in a regular traditional exactly. high school, you could have over 50 students just in one class. And that's why our Superintendent Pons, he totally support dual enrollment. And that's one of the highlights of Lively. He wants that career and technical education, making sure that these students have an opportunity to increase their knowledge in that area and training.
Well, he seems to have done a great job, because these students, if they are an example, you know, they just seem really fine, well-balanced students, you know, and interested. Again, the interest is the key, you know. And when you say the hands-on, I like when you were talking about Frankenstein, because you need to be able to relate. You need to be able to take that information and show how what you're mm-hmm. doing, no matter what it is, mm-hmm. really kind of connects, like Frankenstein and the electrodes that were connected to the same. So that's important, and I think that's one of the deficits that we have had in education, you know, as far as just being able to reach and appeal to mm-hmm. all students. Now, as we talk about all students, is everybody open to aviation? I mean, let's say you have a student who can't read that well. Okay, they really have the interest, but their reading skills are poor. You know, they come to school, they'll try, they got the motivation, but maybe something happened way back when. What do we do with that student?
Okay, well, you know, I can tell you, the FAA has designed this course, and they have requirements as to how we teach it. And what they said is they standardize everything to a 10th grade level. In other words, 10th grade math, 10th grade English, mm-hmm. and 10th grade reading. So that's why we say it's accessible to high school, because if it's in that direction, it's already set up that way, it's accessible to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And again, because we're more hands-on, we lecture verbally and we go out to whatever aircraft or component we're working on, and they actually do the exercise. So it's not like we're trying to sit in the classroom for the whole year. Some subjects That's we good. Do have to spend more time in the classroom because it's a little more complicated. And then after we have that lecture, we go out to the airplane. But I can tell you, when I was in the high school, these kids, the easiest way to get into approach to them and get them interested, I would say, is your car working okay? And it's automatically, no, it's not. What's wrong with it? And then I would show them how they could fix it, and they were like, you know, well, what do? I'm the aviation instructor. I can teach you to be a mechanic. And they were like, well, you just taught me how to fix this. You probably mm-hmm. can teach me to fix an airplane. And I said, it's the same thing, really. An engine's an engine. All we do is put wings on it on a device, and it flies. So that's the way I was able to approach these kids, and like Ben said, trick them into staying into the program.
And on that note also, with the reading level being low, we do have a remediation class.
The next question.
Which we call AAAE, Applied Academics for Adult Education. So actually, they could be enrolled in aviation or any other program and also be enrolled in AAAE, which help them to increase that level of math or language or reading that they might be deficient in.
Now, as far as the process is involved, you don't have to be at Lincoln High School. Could you be at other – you could be at any of the high schools, right? Mm-hmm. And still – Lincoln had a – I'll just make sure I got it clear. Lincoln has a program there on site. But let's say maybe you were at Godby and they may not have a program. I don't know. Explain that to us. How does that work?
Yeah. I like to say that every high school in our county and even the surrounding counties that are accessible to us has aviation in it because they can all go do enrolled, which means they take their regular courses and at 11 o'clock they can come to us.
Okay.
And when they're in high school, and it's free. While they're a high school student, the class is free. Okay. Now, once they graduate, then they have to pay. But if you were an adult coming to our course and you started off from the very beginning, I think our tuition is just around $9,000.
Okay.
So it's accessible. And I don't know anywhere where you can spend $9,000 and buy a career like such as this
and go
out and get and do something that you're going to feel really good about.
Uh-huh.
You're going to feel good about that airplane when it takes off and you say, I did that. I know every time I do it, it's a tremendous feeling.
Mm-hmm. A sense of accomplishment. Do you all agree? Y'all are so quiet. Like, so cool, sitting back, not saying anything. Do you agree? I mean, what do you find as a real appeal in the program? What's one of your favorite components of the program? Since you're at the end now, all of you are at the end, and you're going to be graduating.
To me, personally, I prefer working on engines other than the airframe. It's just the feeling of seeing after you've tore it apart and then put it back together and it runs. It's just, there's no better feeling than that.
Okay.
I just like the whole feeling of the hands-on because at the high school, couldn't really have much hands-on because we didn't have any planes. So
right.
We have a couple planes out to the airport. So the whole feeling of the hands-on was the great part about it.
Okay.
I just like how you know you can do it. Like, you learn all the things that other people don't know how and you can do it still.
Do you find that you apply your knowledge to other things? Maybe something else is broken in the house or something else is broken. Maybe your car's not working and you go, oh, well, you know, I can fix that. Or you tell your friends, yeah, I know how to fix that.
Yeah, I like that you can use everything in it for, like, anything in life. Like, anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm going to get back to the cost. Okay, because I know you said it was around $9,000. Does that include what other extra additional costs do people have? Books? Do they have lab fees, miscellaneous? I mean, just all that includes all of that.
That's all inclusive.
Okay.
Yes, that's the total cost.
Now, you mentioned financial aid. Would you elaborate a little bit on financial aid?
Financial aid is available to all students that qualify. We have a financial aid officer right there on campus. As a matter of fact, we have two. We have a veterans person that will be able to discuss your benefits with you. Okay. We would even help you fill out the FAFSA, which is the Pell Grant, to be able to qualify for it and to use it for the programs that you're interested in.
So financial aid, have any of you taken advantage of financial aid? Okay.
Well, because they're in high school.
Because they're high school.
They had it all free to them. Yeah.
But what about this year? Is that still free?
So now that they graduated high school, they're going to come back to us. Now they have to buy their own tools.
Okay.
And they have to buy their books. Their books are supplied. We have our own bookstore that has the books.
Okay.
So we can get them books. And the cost, like I said, is all-inclusive for everything, yes.
Okay, so they still have to pay $9,000?
No, because they've taken most of the course. They only have to pay for the portions that they have left over.
Yes. Okay.
So it could be, I imagine, $1,000, $2,000.
Yeah. And one thing I do want to mention, Dr. Hollifield, because they're in high school and because the tuition and the books and all of that was free to the individual students, mm-hmm. when they come to Lively, they might be there for two semesters. That's the only thing they would have to pay for. So they actually would have gotten a high school diploma from Leon County Schools and also picked up a training. And to go into aviation, which we're featuring today, they can go out into aviation making $35,000, $45,000 right off the bat.
Wow.
Virtually out of high school.
Out of high school.
They must not know about this. I mean, this is like hidden. Yeah. I can't see, because what I hear from you all is that, okay, yes, we're focusing on aviation, but there are other programs, too, that they could be, one could be dually enrolled in. You know, if your thing is not aviation, maybe your thing is pharmacy or whatever. You could still be dually enrolled in high school and whatever program you all have to offer. Okay.
You're right.
And the price would vary according to the program. Got it right. Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. To our listening audience, you're tuned in to 411 Team. This hour, we are talking with Lively Technical Center Aviation Program. I think I asked you, could you continue to work? And you were saying that you worked part-time in the evening and didn't get home until 10, and you were able to hold down the dually enrolled program.
Yes, ma'am.
Now, even though we know that it is really a program that adapts itself and tries to accommodate all students, who is it not for? And because all programs are not. And the reason I asked is I think it's real important that students know I'm going into this program now. I can't be shucking and jabbing, okay? I have to really be doing, you know, I have to be serious about it. So if you're coming in with a cavalier attitude and think, oh, you know, this is going to be, it doesn't sound like that. This is the kind of program for that. Okay, right.
Absolutely. This is really not for the student that that can have a problem with attendance, because we have to maintain a certain amount of hours per quarter.
Okay.
And if you don't meet that attendance requirement, because that's an FAA standard, then we automatically have to release you from the class because you got to meet those hours. But outside of that, I hear a lot of times that a parent or a student says, "Well, I really want to go to a 4-year college," but you know they have some problem how to get there. And so what I tell them is our program might be the way for you to get to college, because you can come to us, get an A&P license, and then go work for someone like Lockheed Martin doing whatever you have to do there as an assembly line or something like that, building an airplane. And what they do is if you have an A&P license or you have some aptitude, they will send you to school. And how do I know this? I did it. I was 19 years old. I had an A&P license. I worked, and they needed an engineer. And they saw that I already had a license to fix airplanes, and I was there helping to build the airplane. So they pulled me to the side and said, "Okay, we're going to make you an engineer." And I was like, I can't afford that. They said, "No, you don't understand. We're going to pay for it." I still can't afford it because I have to work. No, we're going to pay you to be in class. So what I tell students today is if you have a difficulty on how to get to college and pay for it, I've got a way for you to do it.
This is definitely the way. Now, can one have that avenue through other programs, too?
You most certainly can. For instance, in our health area, you can actually, if you're working on your practical nursing, within that program, you would receive a nursing assistant. You can work part-time as a nursing assistant till you get your practical nursing license, which you would become an LPN. And then after you retrieve that, we really encourage you to go farther to become a registered nurse and perhaps a BSN. Okay. We have had at least two graduates come back at Lively and teach in the program, even with their masters. So we're really excited.
That says a lot for the program. Now, within the aviation program, are there specialties or kind of areas that you might want to major in? I mean, for example, I don't know. You have to excuse my ignorance now. Large engine versus small engine or computer. I'm just trying to see what are the various areas of specialty that one may pursue within the aviation program.
Yes, absolutely. When you become an airframe and power plant mechanic FAA certified. What you have a license to do is fix an airplane, whether it be a small single engine airplane all the way up to a jet transport.
Okay.
There is no requirement as to what you really can't fix. But you do have other training that you can do, like non-destructive testing, x-ray, for instance. You can go out and get an x-ray certification and then actually do x-ray on aircraft. I tell people all the time that an airplane is much like being a doctor of people.
Mm-hmm.
We diagnose, we find the problem, we fix it. Just kind of like a doctor does. But that's not only the only thing we can do here with that. It's part of finding a way to progress these students into a different field. Because I've always told these students that you come into aviation and anything that's taught at FSU can also be translated into the chosen field you want. If you have a real estate license, okay, and you're out there working as real estate, you come here and get an A&P license, you're now an A&P real estate agent. An airplane is $10 million sometimes. So if you sell a $10 million airplane and you make 1% from that, you've done well.
No. Okay.
Yeah, so and then on the backtrack, we had one student come to us, and he had some experience being in the fire department. He was a fireman. And he wanted to get some additional training. He was interested in aviation, and he came to us and became an airframe and power plant mechanic. He is now working at an airport as a fireman that is in aviation, because that fire truck and that system is only there for the airplanes. And because he understands the airplanes and he's a fireman, he was able to use it. I had an elderly gentleman come to us, and he had been a cabinet maker his whole life. Mm-hmm. And he wanted to change careers. And he goes, and he told us, it's kind of late for me to do this. I said, no, it's not. Because it's very difficult to find a cabinet maker that's a professional in doing that and that is an A&P mechanic, because all these airplanes, there's cabinets in them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And some of these cabinets are very well made.
I hate to interrupt you. We'll come right back to it. You're tuned in to 411 Teen, and this is a great program, very informative. Lively Technical Center Aviation Program is our focus. We're going to take a brief break, but we'll get right back at you. If you're just tuning in, the program is 411 Teen, and I'm Dr. Liz Hollyfield, and we are having a conversational forum with the community of Lively Technical Center Aviation Program. I had to interrupt you, Joe.
That's fine.
You were just talking about, but it's fascinating, so keep on. Because I think, just the idea of the possibilities, and that people are not, they're just not aware of this, so they need to hear this. So if you want to continue, and then I'll get with you all and talk about, you could be thinking about it, your own particular interests. What was the real impetus, what you really love about the program? Go on.
Well, what's awesome about Lively Technical Center is you can come to us and be an A&P mechanic. And like the question you had, can I go into any direction or other direction?
Mm-hmm.
I often tell my students, get your A&P license and then become a welder. We have that program. You're an aviation welder now. Come to us, be an A&P mechanic, and now you want to go into some kind of computer sciences. We can teach that technology. Okay? If you want to, so almost everything that Lively can offer can be added to the aviation aspect, and then you can go in that direction. So it's a great program. Aviation is one of those things that it's not stable.
Mm-hmm.
You can start with here and go in any direction whatsoever. You can go into aviation medicine, aviation law, like I said, aviation real estate. I never thought I would be an aviation teacher at a high school. It never occurred to me. I was presented the opportunity and love it. So and found that this is my key in life. So so me and my wife laugh all the time that she says I'm having more fun with the students than I did with the airplanes. And I grew up my whole life thinking airplanes was a thing. So what I'm saying is, if you get an A&P license and you get this in life halfway through your career, If you want to change, you can make that change in aviation.
Ben, I want to hear from you. Now, I know as I hear, you can explore almost any avenue that you want to. What is your focus in the aviation program? You're going to be graduating next year. Where do you plan to go? What do you want to do?
I'm not sure what I'm going to do. Mm-hmm. I got one thing I was thinking about doing. Mm-hmm. I was thinking, like, get my AMP, you know, and work for a couple years, save up some money, open up a hangar, hire some people to work for me, and then, you know, I got my own hangar, do that for a couple years, make some money off that, take out a loan, open up an airport, some foreign country where our money's worth more, and then bam, I'm doing good.
Yeah, you're doing good, and you're doing something you like to do. Something that you've been. Yeah, okay, that's great. Now, will you all graduate in what, May, June of next year, or is it the whole year? When do you know?
May.
You're gonna graduate in May. Are there options? And I guess this is open to all of you. Are there placements? I guess. Do you help with placements when they graduate? Where can they go?
Absolutely. When a student is in their last quarter to finish the whole program, mm-hmm. one of the things mm-hmm. we make them do is go out and find three jobs. And what we want them to do is build a resume, build an interview platform for that resume, and make letters of introduction and letters of different ways of trying to get that job. Because the communication with the employer, I think, is the main key. Mm-hmm. The more you can communicate with that person that's trying to hire somebody, the closer you can get to that job. So that's what we try to do with that.
And we also have a placement center right there on Lively Technical Center campus. And we also have occupational advisory boards. And each of the program have traditional industry certification instructors or even business owners that serve on those boards or committees. And they somehow connect with the students and open all type of possibilities for them.
Well, that's that linkage in the community.
Yes,
then.
It is.
And that's fantastic. That's great. Cody, what's your focus? Where do you see yourself going? I mean, and I know you might change, but at this point, where are you at? What do you think?
I've had a lot of people trying to push me to go into the military for 4 years. Uh-huh. Get a military background and then go and, if I wanted to, change career fields. My neighbor, Mr. Bill, has really been pushing me to go into the Army, get my helicopter's license, and then come out and let them pay for my airplane license and fly commercial.
So you're considering that?
Yes, ma'am.
Strongly considering. I mean, it sounds like a win. It sounds like these students are in just win-win situations. No
Absolutely.
Matter what your interest yes. is, you can find employment and training if you want and need more there through aviation. Lenard, tell me about you. What's happening?
Well, for right now, I'm just planning on finishing school and getting my license. I don't really know 100%. Am I going to work right now? But most likely I will. And also, being an AMP, you get a lot of benefits. I know you get free flights for you and your family, so that's a good thing, too.
Mm-hmm. That's true. That is very true. Yes, sir. What's happening?
I'm not really sure what I want to do. I just know I don't really want to go to like a 4-year college and just do the common everyday thing. I just like to do hands-on work, and this is like a good path to go. So even if I don't like stay in aviation, this is still like a good background to have and good knowledge and stuff.
Yeah, because it sounds like no matter what you do, you can always use this background. It seems like it's just invaluable. Okay. I mean, if you decide to go into teaching, if you decide to go into medicine, if you decide to go into law, I mean, whatever, if you want, you can use this background and you can use it, you know, as a stop to go wherever, you know, a step rather, to go wherever you want to go. So that's what I'm hearing from you all, you know, so it's very versatile and it offers you a number of different options. What kinds of things would you say to people, and I think I'm talking now about students, who might go, I don't know, I think I'm interested, but I'm not really sure, because you've been in the program. I mean, you're at the end. You're getting ready to graduate. What kinds of things would you say to potential students? What do you think are the important components that they need to know to be successful in this area?
you just gotta do your work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Work hard, read the book, listen in class. You'll learn some stuff, and then you'll be good to go. I mean, it's just your own motivation, how you drive yourself.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'll just go around the table here from all of you.
I mean, yeah, it definitely teaches you, like, how to work and how to, like, be focused on one whatever you're doing and not just play around. And because, I mean, you clearly can't play when you're messing with airplanes. It's going to carry 300 people.
No, I don't think so. I hope not.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you really don't know, I would still take it because I was in the same situation. I really didn't know anything about planes. Really didn't know if I really wanted to do it.
What was the appeal for you, Lenore? I mean, what was it that kind of caught your interest and made you go, let me check this out?
Garcia.
I wouldn't let him go.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, that speaks a lot for you. That is fantastic. But I know, you know, it's an instructor like you that is really important. I know when you were here before talking about, I was like, wow, that program sounds great. If I was going back to school, I might want to go in there. In fact, where are the females? Are there any females in the program?
In the high school, I had a lot. I mean, I'd say about maybe 10 students that
were
female. Yeah. And from what I understand, we're going to have one that actually wants to do enroll with us coming this August. So that, and we have had previously female students. In fact, I know we have one female student came through us about maybe 15 years ago, and she's down in Tampa, and she's one of the head FAA people.
Really?
With the FAA. Yeah, so it's a tremendous thing, yeah.
Okay, so they are around, because I haven't seen any. And I, you know, and I know that's not really a reflection on the program. It's just a reflection on getting the word out there and maybe getting exposure. Is there an opportunity at any level for someone to maybe shadow a student or come and visit the program to see, you know, what it's all about? I mean, for example, I know we haven't talked about this, and I didn't even finish getting from you all the kinds of things you would say to students. But as far as shadowing the program, finding out what classes they have to take. I mean, what are the real types of classes that they have to take? I don't know if there's that opportunity or not.
Well, I can tell you, it's dangerous to have your student or a parent send me a student and me show them because I'm going to capture them.
Well,
I'm going to take them out to the hangar. I'm going to show them the airplane. I'm going to show them what we can do. And I tell students, you know, there are no great people. Just great opportunity and expectation.
Mm-hmm.
If you have the goal and you have the expectation that you're going to do this and you give yourself the opportunity, yes, you can do it. It's just like Mr. Lenard said. He goes, I didn't know I could fix an airplane. I didn't understand that I can make an airplane fly.
Uh-huh.
And he's doing it.
Uh-huh.
And he's doing it at from a high school level.
Uh-huh. What would you say to young brothers, you know, who might have an interest in that? But, you know, are uncertain.
I would just try it and just see if you like it or not. You won't be wasting your time because you'll learn a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
Just try it and see for the 1 year and see where it takes you.
See where it takes you.
Yeah.
Any comments? What would you, you know, what would you say?
I mean, I feel like if you, really, I came into this program knowing the basics. I could change a tire, you know, change
mm-hmm.
oil. But now, I mean, I completely tear down an engine, put it back together with my eyes closed. It's, if you go through this, you'll learn a lot, and it can apply it to anything.
When you think about your years in the program, how would you say the instruction and the training and the development of relations, how has it changed or impacted your everyday life? How do you feel that you may have grown and matured from being in this program? Because you've been in it 2.5 years now. I mean, you're at coming to the end. And it had to have an impact or you wouldn't have continued it, okay?
I feel like it's definitely changed me a lot. Like, I used to not have a real big authority figure, and now it's like, I just, if you tell me to do something, I'll go out there and do it, and I can take tasks on by myself, and I can handle them. No job's too big for me.
Okay, so you sound like you feel very confident.
Yes.
And it has really built your confidence and that you know that you know, even though it might be something you aren't familiar with, all you need to do is go in there and apply yourself and read and you can do it.
Yes, ma'am.
That's what I hear from you.
I like the whole thing of being treated like an adult. It's way different from high school.
Mm-hmm.
Just treated like an adult because more adults out there than it is. Mm-hmm. Students, like, at 16 and 17. So obviously you get more treated like an adult and you'll learn a lot from that at a young age.
Okay, and when you think about you personally, what kind of growth or change do you feel that you have experienced, you know, by being in the program these years? What has it done for you personally?
It matured me.
Okay.
I'm only 19. I'm just graduating the world, leaving out of high school, and I'm pretty mature, I think.
Okay. And in what ways have you changed? I mean, when you say mature, I mean, are you talking about, you know, judgment, maybe your decision-making, how you evaluate things? You know, sometimes as teens, we just impulsively do things. And it seems like all of you seem to kind of put some thought. That's what I get from you before you do anything. But anyhow, I'm putting words in your mouth.
I mean, just putting your mind into it because, you know, in high school, you're like, oh, I'm not going to do it.
Yeah.
But out here, you're more like, yeah, I got to do it. I really have to do it. So putting your mind to it and really want to study, I think you'll do fine. That's what I find.
Yeah, it definitely makes you more mature. Like, when me and Ben first started in high school, we'd always just mess around and get in trouble. But now we mess around and get in trouble a little bit less.
Well, that's good. I mean, you know, all trouble's not bad. You need to have a little bit of trouble, okay? Yeah. What about you?
Yeah, I'm with what he said, you know. No, yeah, but I like that. It teaches you to, you know, like look information up. And, you know, you can do anything you set your mind to. It takes a little bit of effort.
And that has instilled that in you, that you know that you can accomplish whatever you want to accomplish.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Can you share with us, Joe, some of the places that you have students employed? Some of the places that they have gone, because I think it'd be important for the listening audience to hear that, okay? Because I'm sure they go all over the country.
Yes, absolutely. It's amazing. When we graduate a student, often I don't even get a chance to say goodbye to a student because he's already got a job and he's gone. He's already in that mode that I got to get out of here. The job's there. I'm in that mode. Okay. So it's never a goodbye. It's always got to go. So we just had a student. I think he went to Godby. I can't remember what school he went to. But he was a high school student that came to us, had never had a job before, and never even changed the oil in his car, didn't do anything, didn't really know much. He came to us, went through the A&P program, and now he went to Chicago to work for an airline right out of school. He actually had the job before he actually graduated. So,
how does that happen? How do they do that?
What's happening in aviation is the average age of an airliner mechanic is about 50 to 60 years old.
Oh, okay? So.
Yeah, so, and they're in that mode where they're going into retirement,
mm-hmm.
or they're thinking about retirement.
Mm-hmm.
So, when I went to Delta and we had a conference with them, they told us that we take about 4 years to take a mechanic straight out of school, train them, and then actually where they can go off their own and actually fix the airplane. What that means is that if you have an employee that's 50 to 60 years old, they have to hire the replacement right now so they can shadow, so they can understand what to do when that one person leaves. So right now, there is such a deficiency in aircraft mechanics that everyone we talk to wants our students. Everywhere down from Disney World, SeaWorld, we had a student just go to SeaWorld and work there. They wanted an aircraft mechanic to go out and fix the rides that people ride onto because they have some of the same rules.
Yeah.
Elevators, escalators, all this kind of equipment, those big tractors they use to build buildings and stuff like that, they all have the same kind of components as aviation. So they need that kind of expertise. So what we have found is a student, once they apply, they actually find jobs very quickly. But for the first time, I was excited to see this, that we had a student, and like I said, we have him do a resume or search jobs, and then you have to search for three jobs. He actually found a job where they were building an airplane that would take off the ground, go into space, and then come back into our atmosphere and land on the ground. So now I tell people, hey, I'm teaching kids to be space aircraft mechanics.
Yeah, well, you are.
The ceiling now has changed. It's no longer the sky is the ceiling. Space is the ceiling. And so that's what's happening today, and it's a tremendous thing.
What about, in this last minute, what about the I guess I would say maybe the disabled student who may not have a lot of physical strength. Is there still an avenue for them? Do you have to be strong to be in the program?
Like I said before, anything that you can learn in any major educational facility, mm-hmm. you can use that. A student like that, if they came to me mm-hmm. asking my advice, come get your A&P with us and go become an aviation writer, a technical writer. Okay, yeah. That's something you can do from home. That's something you can do from whatever facility that you have that's keeping you from working on the aircraft. And you're there, and that's a liable, and it's a very good career.
Well, thank you all. Thank you so much for coming. We really appreciate sharing all this information with 411 Team. That's it for this edition of 411 Team. Tune in next week, same time, same place, to get the 411 on 411 Team. This edition of 411 Team was produced by Dr. Liz Hollyfield. Technical assistant, Ken Smith. Audio copies are available, and if you want to participate in 411 Team or have suggestions for discussion topics, call 1-800-829-8809, extension 358. If you would like to subscribe to 411 Team podcast, log in wfsu.org. Check us out on Facebook.